Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Did you know that government is a God idea? But government, men's government, is not over God. God is actually over government. Every time when you see evil starting to creep into a society or a culture, it's amazing how it works. All of a sudden, you'll begin to see an oppressive government. America is a great experiment, something that God has shed his grace on this particular country. The U.S. Constitution was the first constitution other than the Magna Carta that began to walk out years past but never really fully kicked into play, where it gave men freedom. It's a government by the people and for the people. And think about this. Today, more people are worried about what the government would do instead of the government worried about what the people would do, when it's the government by the people. We've got to begin to stand up again. Even as Christians, so many Christians today feel like, because of the narrative that's out there, that we can't have input into government. You're a citizen. You're a citizen of America. You can stand up. If you're a pastor, you can stand up. If you are a minister, you can stand up. If you're a believer that has a business in the nation, you can stand up. And if you're just a typical person in the community, you can stand up. You have a right. Every person counts in America. As a matter of fact, let's listen to Tony Evans, Pastor Tony Evans, talk about how important it is for the church, Christians, to stand up and get our voices be heard in regards to government and elections coming up. Take a look.
The saga of a nation is the saga of its families written large, and whoever owns the family owns the future. Separation of church and state should never mean separation of God and right. God should not be marginalized and put on the sideline. His authority should not be negated. It is the departure of government from God that's got us in the political, social, economic, and familial chaos that we're experiencing today. And we should not take human institutions that he established, which includes government, and the foundation is the family, and redefine it at our own whim.
So are you talking about incorporating God into politics?
Well, you can't exclude God from politics, since government is supposed to reflect God in history. The Bible's full of politics. And the idea is simply that you vote for the party or the candidate that best reflects the values of the kingdom of God. Unless God is brought back to bear and his viewpoint is taken seriously on the specific issues of our day, then we will not have the resolution. Government belongs to God. When God is excluded, government is in trouble.
So you're looking at, this is the truth. I mean, Pastor Tony Evans is reminding us that we have an obligation. Government belongs to God. God does not belong to government. Even though you see government officials right now in America trying to define God, to redefine God, our president just went to a mosque in America that's allegedly linked to terrorism, the reports are by CBN, to begin to explain the theology of Christianity and the theology of Islam. And it's like, why is a government official even doing that? And talking about the golden rule and, you know, the lowest common denominator of the golden rule. The truth is that government's job is to support and defend the constitutional rights of the individuals. But it's us that are supposed to stand up and vote and express ourselves in that particular common way. But I'm remembering when Franklin Graham with Samaritan's Purse and Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, you know, he was talking about the devastation of elections. And so many people are turning their anger the wrong way. I mean, the people who do the work and go out and run a race and get voted into office, you shouldn't be upset with them. You should be upset with the folks that didn't participate. You're going to be really surprised to find out over the 90 million Christians in America, how many of them actually didn't vote at all. But first, let's join Franklin Graham as he's speaking here about the last election, how it turned out, and who we should be really angry at with Brody. Take a look.
There are a lot of folks that are scratching their heads, a lot of born-again Christians especially, who are, I don't want to say distraught, that's not the right word, but they are concerned for sure about the results of what happened on Election Day. What is your message to folks who are wondering what just happened, and it looks like they feel like a semi hit them?
Well, we know that from some of the statistics that I've heard that the majority of Christians in this country just did not vote for whatever reason. The vast majority of evangelicals did not go to the polls. So for those that are distraught and feel like the end of the world is coming, I'm sure Elijah felt the same way when he was running from Ahab, and he was going to be killed. And he complained to the Lord. He said, they've killed all the prophets, and I'm the only one left. And God said, there's, I think it was, 7,000 or 9,000 who hadn't bowed their knee to Baal. And so God is in control. And if Christians are upset, they need to be upset at themselves. We need to do a better job of getting our people, the church, to vote. Now, I'm not trying to tell you how to vote. You know, you can vote, but vote, my goodness. And vote for candidates that stand for biblical values. And that is so important that you vote for those candidates. And I say candidates, I'm not talking about just the national level. I'm talking about who's running for the school board. I'm talking about county commissioners. I'm talking about your city council at your state level as well as the federal level. We need to vote for men and women that believe in God and that believe in His laws and His statutes. And if the Christians would just vote, then the elections in this country would be much different.
It's so important for us to understand that, you know, anger undirected or not directed at the right cause. I mean, the Word of God says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Anger is not, righteous anger is not wrong. But just being angry for anger's sake does not fix anything. It just doesn't fix anything. And not only that, if that's not even the problem, why would we even be angry at that? When you think about this, that, you know, we can have this tendency when things go wrong and we're really upset with ourselves, we start venting and now all of a sudden we're angry at the traffic lights or we're angry at our coworkers or we're angry with a family member. But if you find out the root of that is, we're angry with ourselves because we didn't do something right or we wish we would have done something differently. Well, look at this. This is just what Ted Cruz just said, according to Breitbart.com. Over 90 million, there's 90 million evangelicals in America and 54 million of them, 54 million of them did not even vote in the election. 54 million. I mean, think about that. Do we really want to be upset because somebody else had a different view than would be a biblical worldview and they went out and they had their campaign rallies and they voted? No, we should have actually responded. We should have voted. According to what's being said here by Ted Cruz, 90 million evangelicals in America and only 54 million of them didn't even vote. What does that mean? That means if you get educated and you do what Pastor Tony Evans is talking about, what we're going to be talking about in this program, getting connected to Civil Christianity, civilchristianity.org, and say, you know what? I'm going to get educated. I want to know who's running for office. I want to, all the way from my dog catcher up to all the way to the President of the United States, I want to be involved and educated and to make a vote. Listen, that's who we should be angry with, is our own self, if we didn't take out the time and the effort to be able to educate ourselves and interview the folks and look at their websites, read their material, make a phone call. Why? Because the next president, if not this current president, may be sending your sons or your daughters or and your daughters and sons to war. Isn't it important for us to find out and get involved?
It is amazing when you think about that, you know, according to what you're looking at right here on the screen, 90 million, Ted Cruz said 90, according to Breitbart.com, 90 million evangelicals in America. And 54 million did not vote in
Think
the presidential election.
90 million represents almost a third of our population. 90 million.
But how many Christians are you seeing stand up right now and blame the government for the problems?
Yeah.
And it's like, we quit teaching in school how America works. It's actually, you're the government. You're the leader.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you are, if you would, America's full of a whole bunch of kings that determine who for a period of time, 6 years, 4 years, 2 years, they allow somebody to represent them. But mm-hmm. you're the one that changes that. You can fire anybody. You can fire the President of the United States. Yes, we honor that office when they're in that office. But the one who's in the office, he or she, whoever it is, you could decide as an American, That's enough.
And this is one of the
even in the middle of a term.
Yeah, think about it. It's the longest job interview they're going on. So you have the right to be able to look at their credentials, look at their policies, look at their judgment. How does someone come to make these type of decisions, and who are they going to and their track record in as well?
So, I mean, if in fact you see what's taking place, I mean, pretty much even non-believers know that America's headed in an immoral way, and our leaders that are representing us are going that way with it, changing laws, Supreme Courts, and this type of thing. And as Christians, I mean, think about this, John. I mean, God's going to hold us accountable for not even what. This is what you got to do. You either got to go online or go down to the county and say, I would like to vote.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, that's it.
Get registered.
Get registered to vote.
Not registered. Get registered.
That's what you got to do. Get registered to vote. I mean, you should do that. The first thing you should do, because that's how you. That's a responsibility, a citizenship test for become a citizen of America. It tells you very specifically, this is the day that you vote. That's how the country works. And if you're not voting, 54 million didn't vote.
Didn't bother.
I mean, 54 million. We would turn, the reason why the current government that we have in office that people are complaining about is because of if you're part of that 54 million didn't vote. It's not because that one particular person that voted and it didn't go their way because they were voting in a righteous way. Mm-hmm. It's because you didn't vote. Mm. And you got to get registered to vote. And it's not like who you're going to vote for. It's more like you think about, you know, Tony Evans's book. His book that he has out that you can get it through the ebook or you can get it from Amazon.com. But it's like, how should Christians vote?
Right. We've got the question confused and mixed up. People are focusing on personalities and on people, but the main issue is how. What is the standard, and what should we look at these candidates through? What paradigm? What
Jesus has already came, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. We're not looking for Jesus here.
Right.
Jesus has already come.
Right.
And the reason why Jesus
or
had to
Messiah,
come
another Messiah.
And had to give his life. For us, because there's no man that's righteous, no, not one. So you don't have a righteous candidate ever is going to run for office. But you can find out who is the one who's willing to lead in the most right way for the country and that's constitutionally sound. And for somebody to say that they're loyal to the Constitution, that's not a negative thing. That's a positive thing. Outside the Constitution, America would fall apart. It's like fish in an aquarium. You think about an aquarium that you know, you have this glass container and you have all this wonderful stuff inside of your fish to swim around. And then you have this thing, the glass container. Think about that like the Constitution. That's what it is. The reason why America, where you're able to swim to your job and swim to a vacation, do these different things is because there's an aquarium holding this whole thing together. By the grace of God, the U.S. Constitution is holding this thing together. And if you get rid of the Constitution, then we'll just spill out over the face of the earth.
Mm.
Think about that. I mean, it's what would happen to a fish if you did it. So when you have leaders or people who are wanting to represent us and they're saying this old outdated aquarium, we need to get rid of it, instantly the fish would say, wait a minute, this is what's allowing my habitat to exist.
Well, you've been watching this program. We've talked about the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment most recently. And, you know, we have some people that are running for office that are okay with compromising your constitutional right, you know, to privacy. And so when someone says they want to uphold the Constitution, it keeps everybody safe. It protects
it's
everyone's rights.
It's not a negative thing. It's
and
a positive thing.
There's so many issues in this presidential election right now. But one of those things is, you know, they're going to be able to appoint what's being reported right now, up to 4 Supreme Court justices.
Which is like a 30-year stand of one way or the other where this country's going to go.
So
that's where the reason why children can be aborted in the womb is because of the Supreme Court ruling that pushed past the Congress the same way they did recently with the marriage situation. It wasn't Congress approving of that.
And
they
that decision
it.
Has been around for over 40 years. Years.
And it costs over 50 plus million children their lives.
It matters.
Yeah. And then people that are born in that, they believe that this is nothing wrong with it because their whole life, it was okay to take the child. Yeah. Take the child's life in the womb. It's like Josiah. It's not until you get into the Word of God and you read it where you start finding out God's angry with us.
Mm-hmm.
God says he was going to destroy Israel for the innocent bloodshed that was taking place in there.
Wow.
And he began to repent. So if you don't teach the word of God, the accuracy, and there was a survey done of Christians in America. Was it done by Barna? And like the top one, two, and three areas of the top 10 they want their pastors to speak about,
yes,
is Barna. Abortion, mm-hmm. and cloning and persecution. I mean, this is the top 20 or top 10
yeah.
things to be able, and it's like, why aren't we even talking about that?
Mm.
You know, why aren't we even talking about that? Anybody can get a crowd, but Jesus spoke the truth and people walked away with the truth, but at least you told them the truth. Some
That's
people
right.
stayed. Peter said, where else will I go?
Yeah.
And so I look at the preamble of the Constitution right here. When you're thinking about it, it says, this is the beginning of the U.S. Constitution that we all should at least know this part, but know it. You know, this is what our founding fathers wrote. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States. It's amazing, this small document, this aquarium, this thing that this habitat that's allowed this habitat is threatening to radical Islam, is threatening to those who are loyal to the Quran, because they want to put a caliphate over top of the Constitution because they believe that the government is merged the two concepts of politics and religion and government. And that's why you have Morocco, where they say there's no Christians at all. If you go, you're in these countries that are Islamic countries,
mm-hmm.
that it's a death sentence. It's punishable by death. If, in fact, you are watching VFN TV and you find out how we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, you go to meetmyfather.org, you find out about our testimonies, and you go, and your heart is just touched, and you go, I want to become a Christian. And if they were to find that out in these Islamic governments, that's a death sentence for you.
Yeah.
And our president is going to a American mosque and talking theology about that. It's like, that's the theology you got to talk about. It's unjust to kill someone because of their faith. And that's what's taking place in many different mm-hmm. Islamic countries. And so, you know, why should we vote? That's a very important thing. And I encourage you to get this book. I encourage you to go to civilchristianity.org and sign a pledge. There's a pledge there, an agreement. It's the same agreement with a little tweakings because it's a newer age now of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. that when you agreed to walk with Dr. King, you had agreed to these principles. And you know what they were? They're Christian principles.
Christian methods, he says, right?
They're Christian methods. And so all the people that wanted to kind of twist and turn. As a matter of fact, here, this is Dr. King's daughter. She's the head of the King Center right here. And she talks about, you know, people have told her father that, you know, he was called by God to civil rights. But mm-hmm. his assignment was a spiritual assignment by God. And his assignment, his call was a spiritual call, but his assignment was the civil rights. I want you to listen to her as she speaks now.
Our role and responsibility is to really set the tone and direction of society and culture. I tell people all the time that the movement that was led by my father was a spiritual movement. It wasn't a civil rights movement. It impacted civil rights. But it was a spiritual movement, and its assignment was to civil rights.
Dr. Bernice King, the King Center,
mm-hmm.
that's his daughter. She's letting you know, she runs the King Center, that he made a huge difference. There was plenty of people that joined him, but it was him on the front row.
Yeah.
It was him locking arms. It was him with President Kennedy. It was him that was with Johnson, you know, President Johnson,
Lyndon Johnson.
It was him that walked across the bridges, but he did it in the name of Christ. He did it because in America, he said, listen, we're just trying to hold you to what's on the papers. What was he talking about? He's talking about the aquarium. He's talking about the Constitution. The Constitution says, you don't have a right to oppress me.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read these 10 commitments, and John will probably get those 10 commitments up, you know, after this break, but you need to say, you know what? Dr. King set a, Reverend Dr. King Jr. set an example for all of us, that one man who begins to lead confidently, staying within the constitutional law, staying under God's law, be willing to risk it all for the righteousness of God in this nation, with dogs and police against you and all these different things that are going on. I mean, he shifted a culture. Mm. I mean, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shifted a culture. Daniel shifted a culture. Paul shifted cultures. And this is the most powerful country in the world. You have the most freedom anywhere else in the world that you can stand up just like Dr. King stood up. And there's plenty of people that want to stand up with you. But we need to, but there's some folks that are out there that's just, and they're not standing up for the right reasons. They are not moving in love because, you know, Dr. King said this, and you probably can see it right now, that there's no way that darkness can remove darkness. Mm-hmm. Only light can do that.
Yeah.
You cannot be evil to evil and think evil's going to go away. And you see people like, I think that's more evil than the evil that was taking place. And he says, you know, he says specifically too that, you know, hatred cannot drive out hatred. Only love can do that. That's a very important. I mean, this was an amazing man because when it was all said and done, when he was almost choked by his own tie, that we're going to play that for you so you can see that afterwards. Yeah. He still said, we still got to love. And this is who we got to be. We have to be Dr. King's.
Imagine Dr. King. Without the Constitution. I mean, just imagine. Well,
because he had God in the Constitution, he was able to stand like that. We got to go to an offer here, but we get back. I want you to hear Dr. Avita King talk about what she saw take place. She's interviewing her aunt, what she saw take place when Dr. King came early on when he was taking a stand for righteousness. We're going to make this available to you on the VFN Torch. It is so important to watch this because you know, Dr. Avita King is interviewing, I believe, her aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in a restaurant, like an O'Charlie's or whatever. And she's saying, you know, explain to me, you know, what you told me about. And she says, well, you know, I was in the house. I was visiting. I was there, but Dr. King didn't know I was there. And Dr. King he just came off the streets, you know, it was a community. And he's leaning against the fireplace. And he doesn't know that she's there. And so you can see Dr. King think about that at a young age. He's leaning over against the fireplace, kind of catching his breath, and he's loosening his tie. And he's saying, they almost strangled me. They almost, by my own tie. And so she's expecting, you know, anger. You know, she's expecting, you know, what our first responses are.
Mm-hmm.
And she watches him say, but we gotta love.
Mm.
This is who we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, we've been drinking the religious Kool-Aid in America that says you don't have to love. You can be hateful and mean and xenophobia and all these different things going on versus that's what we're supposed to be. And the only thing that can conquer this kind of hate, and believe me, it was religious hate. They were burning crosses. I mean, for some reason, I don't understand why the present day church can't connect to the reality of what happened in our country. It's not the fact that just something bad was going on in our long-term part of our history was. It was the fact that Christianity was being represented by people who biblically weren't Christians.
Hello.
I mean, you cannot hate your brother and say you love God. He says you're a liar if you do that. So,
Which is proof positive that you can't be a Christian in name only, but it is by your fruit.
Yeah.
That says what you are.
But the atrocity of the whole thing is, and we're talking about love. This is going to have to be a love movement going on. And I got to learn from Pat how to move in love.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
But think about this is so important. I mean, he was being choked by his tie. But during that time, I have a picture. I don't even know. I got to get this picture to you. As a matter of fact, you're probably looking at it right now. This is Dr. King and his son in the front yard removing a burnt cross from his yard.
Mm.
It's like of all the things that could have been done to come against another human being, that people who profess to be Christians were taking the emblem in which Jesus, God, chose to die on for our sins and put it in front of somebody's yard and burn it and say that they were of God. No, you're not of God. You're, that's not of God to do that. I want you to see, this is Naomi King right here, and this is that interview where she's telling you firsthand, this is not somebody, you know, filtering this, what that happened. And understand, if you were just choked out by your tie, and that was the day they had those thin ties, it was just, you know. Yeah,
that was by the police, too.
And I was, when I was an officer, we had clip-on ties because of that problem. Mm. But it looks like an officer was doing this. But watch this. Now, this is who we need to be, and I'm not there yet. But I really want to be there, because we cannot succeed in where we need to go in this nation if we don't love. And that's love everyone. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, let's watch now.
As the father of four children.
Permanent.
And his firstborn was Yolanda Denise King, who's deceased now. And I was so happy when Yolanda was born on my birthday, which is November 17th, 1931. And Yolanda was November 17th, 1955. So I was just so happy that she was born on my birthday. I went to Montgomery, Alabama, where they were living, you know, at the time, just to see her and to welcome her, you know, into the family and to show some love to Yolanda. It was one night about 10:30, 11 o'clock in the evening, and I was seated in the darkened living room of their home while Coretta was in the back attending to Yolanda. And so ML, as we call him at that time, came in. And when he came in, I was glad he couldn't see my face because I was sitting in the darker living room. And the only light that shone into the room was from the street light that was coming in through the window. So when he came in, he went straight to his mantle, and my nickname at that time was Nene, and that's all that he ever called me was Nene. So he went straight to the mantle, and he put his hand up on the mantle, and he had his back somewhat towards me, and I was glad he couldn't see my face. So he said, "You know what, Nene?" I said, "No, ML." "What?" He said, "I was detained at the police station, and at that time, his shirt collar was open, and he was tugging at his throat with his finger doing his shirt collar like this. He said, 'I was detained at the police station, and you know what, Nene?' I said, 'No, ML, what?' He said, 'They tried to choke me to death with my own tie.' And when he said that, tears came in my eyes. I said, 'What?' He said, 'They tried to choke me to death with my own tie.' And I said, at that point, I said, 'Oh, ML,' I said, I'm speechless. I just don't know. I just don't want to say that.' He said, 'But you know what?' He said, the more that they mistreat us and the more they abuse us, that shouldn't, he said, that's the more that we've got to love them and forgive them, because hatred is very much alive and we've got to love them.' And I said, 'Oh, ML,' and at that point I just couldn't control it. The tears just fell out of my face. And that was when I knew in my heart of hearts that he was destined to be the leader that he became, because of his commitment and his love for God and his love for people. That is when I knew he was truly ready for the game, for the life that he would live."
Now tell about the
okay. That is so impressive. That's firsthand witness of what was going on when the police, the government, was trying to choke a minister of the gospel out.
Wow.
And you're thinking he still wanted to move in love. I tell you what, I know when I first started my walk in the Lord, it was so easy to love. It was amazing. It's like, you know, yeah. And then it's really not the people in the world. It's the religious folks.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at King Rules right over my shoulder here. That's the book. You got to get it. Dr. Evita King's book. And I believe of different families that, you know, if you were in Great Britain, you'd say the royal family. I think Dr. King's family, this is the whole genealogy of the family, what happened. And it's so encouraging. And that they produced a son like that and children like Evita King based on how they ran their families and their homes. And so we can learn so much from them. And for those that live on the Gulf Coast, she even talks about the city of Pensacola when she was brought down to revival in the city. And her dad, which is the her brother of Dr. King, is her father, told her don't go out in the water, and she just took off out there, and he had to save her. She almost drowned in the beautiful sandy shores of Pensacola. But as I began to walk further in the Lord, it's religious people. I mean, if I really told you, I don't know if you can even talk about it.
You can't.
I think we need to talk about it. I think we need to talk about it because you may be going through this right now. You're so surprised that here you are just trying to love on folks, trying to help folks, trying to meet a need. And there may be a pastor in your community, a person who for whatever reason, you know, they say that they love the Lord and they're always talking about the Lord, but they're coming after you. They're spreading things about you. They're saying these things about you. Well, that's no difference. What happened to Jesus? I mean, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But don't be, put out. Continue to do what you're doing. And understand, everybody that loved the Pharisees talked well of the Pharisees. But Jesus didn't talk well of the Pharisees.
No.
And, you know, when you start seeing specifically, you know, those things take place, you're going to have to hold on to your love. You still have to love. You're going to have to get healed. If you don't get healed from the evil things done to you, I mean, David, terrible things were done to David. David, King David, had the ability to love. It's an amazing thing. He wasn't perfect, but he had the ability to love God, and we have to love. We have to move in love. Dr. King is a great example. I mean, if somebody just choked you out, you got traffic lights in America that go out and people are upset for a week. You have people that had to pay $2 more on their taxes that you heard about it for 6 weeks. You have people that watch a football game and they talk about it for 10 years. But if you choked out somebody by their time, well, Dr. King was an American. His family is American, and he was choked out. And as I showed you earlier, imagine this. This is, again, this picture of him and his son going to his front yard to do what? To take a cross that was burned in his own front yard. I'm telling you. And he loved. He loved when people in the name of religion were yelling at him and belittling him when he is a man of God, a son of God. Somebody says, well, he sinned. So did you. I mean, King David sinned. We all sinned and fallen short. There ain't nobody that hasn't sinned.
No.
So it's not about that. It's the fact is that God uses broken folks to be able to bring his mending hand to men's lives. That's what he does. But he loved. And I want to challenge you. If you hadn't yet gone to civilchristianity.org, we're going to have to begin to come together and begin to explore this and ask God to touch us in such a way that we're known by our love. I mean, Jesus said you'll be known by the love you have for each other. I mean, we know Dr. King because he loved. We know Malcolm X because he didn't love, but I understand his pain. I understood his angle where he was coming from because he was treated just like Dr. King was treated. And he didn't think that love was the answer. But it was Dr. King that God used to shift this nation.
That's right.
It's a powerful thing. We get back. We're going to read what these simple 10 commitments were to be able to walk with King. So no matter what they tell you about Dr. King, you had to actually sign this agreement before you could walk down the street with him. And you're going to be really impressed. And now you're going to be challenged in this generation. Are you going to rise up and lock arms with those who will walk in the name of love to be able to turn this nation back to where it needs to go? As we're talking about, you know, Dr. King set a great example for moving in love. And you've got to get the book, King Rules. It's real simple. Go to Amazon.com. Mm-hmm. We'll make more information available for you on the VFN Torch. You see in the book number. Cool. Can you see King Rules? It's a simple book. But I'm telling you, it is a powerful truth about how did Dr. King come about. And Dr. Evita King and Dr. Bernice King, they're keeping this true flame going. Other people are using, I believe, him for political purposes.
Sure.
But he had a spiritual call in his life. His assignment was the civil rights and a powerful message. But you had to sign these 10 commitments. There's a card you had to sign. We actually have a picture of that card on the VFN Torch. But we have it for you now because we have a version of that for a newer day that we want to start getting together with you. Whatever community you're in, we want to start connecting everyone who says, you know, I commit to these 10 commitments. Because if not, you understand, when you say, hey, let's gather together in the name of God, people were persecuting citizens of America because of the color of their skin and calling themselves Christians. Mm. You don't want somebody to show up in your crowd while you're marching down the street and somebody jump up and say some ungodly thing and wave a cross in somebody's face. And immediately you're going to be associated with it. I know that I went to the airport. We were praying about, you know, who's going to be this next governor of the state of Florida. We didn't know who it was going to be. And as we were praying, the Lord laid on our heart that I think it was me and somebody. Was it me and
Pat, maybe
went down to the person that was running for governor was going to fly into a particular airport. And so, hey, we'll go out there and just hear what he has to say. And we found out we're the only ones out there. You know, it was like, oh, my goodness, you know. And so I had plenty of time to be able to talk to him. But when the media did a story, and they just painted some narrative that was not true. They said something over the couple of us that were there, something like we're against government or something of that nature. And it's like, we didn't even talk to them about that.
Right.
But understand that that's what will happen if you don't, how can two walk together unless they agree? If you don't put some sort of effort to use the wisdom that Dr. King was given from the Lord, it says, if you're going to walk with me, because I know that happened during his day that people wanted to be forceful and angry and break laws, but he said, no, he stood and, but these 10 commandments, let's go ahead and get the 10 commandments so we don't miss them before the program ends.
Okay, the first one, meditate daily on the teachings and life of Jesus.
Oh, hold on a minute. That couldn't be Dr.
King. That's number one.
You had to sign that?
You had to sign it.
So you have to sign this to be able to walk with Dr. King. So when you're seeing the folks on the streets, arm in arm with Dr. King, they were meditating on Jesus, the words of Jesus. They committed to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Number two, remember always that the nonviolent movement seeks justice and reconciliation, not victory.
Yeah, that's so important. As a matter of fact, Bernice King, Dr. Bernice King, talked about that. Can you play what she's saying right there? Can you read that again? I got to edit this piece out.
Remember always that the nonviolent movement seeks justice and reconciliation, not victory.
We call it Nonviolence 365. Nonviolence is a way of life for courageous people. Nonviolence seeks to win friendship and understanding. Nonviolence seeks to defeat injustice and not people. Nonviolence chooses love instead of hate. That's my father's philosophy and methodology of nonviolence.
That's so important. Go ahead, continue to read this. We'll get these in.
Walk and talk in the manner of love, for God is love. Number four, pray daily to be used by God in order that all men might be free. Number five, sacrifice the personal wishes in order that all men be free.
So it's not about a selfish game. No. What do I get out of this? This is like a movement of God.
Justice for everybody.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah.
Number six, observe with both friend and adversary the ordinary rules of courtesy, which is good.
Yeah.
Seven, seek to perform regular services for others and for the world. Eight, refrain from the violence of fist, tongue, or heart.
Tongue.
Yep.
And heart.
Nine, strive to be in good spiritual and bodily health. And number 10, the last one, discipline yourselves to follow the spirit of the movement. And then it says, I sign this pledge having seriously considered what I do and with determination and will to persevere.
You can sign that right now. We're looking for those that are willing to love. I'm on the journey, but I'm willing to say, God, teach me how to love. Because Jesus, think about it. Jesus was having people accuse him of being Satan. They called him Lucifer. They called him Beelzebub. When here he was, he's God. There was people saying, don't follow him. He's evil. It's like, he's Jesus Christ. Mm. To follow him would be a Christ follower, which is a definition of the word Christian.
Right.
These 10 commitments, we have these available for you right now at civilchristianity.org. We have them there because we don't want you to get hurt by saying, hey, we're going to gather people together and just stand up for our civil rights, learning how to be a civil Christian in a civil land. And you have the definition for what does civil mean. It's very important because we have an obligation to be civil in this civil land. And there's things that we need to do, but we don't want people just popping up. You can ask the question, did you commit, make this commitment? Because we're walking with people who walk with the same spirit of what Dr. King walked with. Walking in love. Let's do this thing. I just challenge you to say, you know what? Let's quit just yelling at our televisions. Let's quit being critical. Let's start standing up like Dr. King. I mean, he was choked out by his tie. And some people, John, are still offended because a family member said something to them. They're buying into the 1960s narrative that says you can blame your parents for everything. And here they are, 70 years old, still blaming their parents about stuff and never took ownership of their own
critically
life.
Wounded, yeah.
If anybody could actually blame anybody, Dr. King could have blamed many people across the land. But he chose to stand up for God legally, under the Constitution, up under God's law, and made a huge difference. I believe that we can do this, and now is the time to do it. Just like Franklin Graham is saying with this Decision America, it's time for us to do this. Go to civilchristianity.org and sign those 10 commitments. Help God to say, I mean, if nobody responds and you respond, God sees you respond. He sees you want to make a difference. And Washington's very concerned when two or three get together. Some of the reports are they were very concerned that Dr. King was going to run for president because he had such a movement going on of people.
Unified.
All we got to do is not buy into the division, unify around civil Christianity, the love of God, and begin to move forward with biblical principles, and we'll be very impressed at what God's able to do through submitted vessels. I want to pray right now. Father God, I thank you for Dr. King and his commitment in this country, Father God, to you and what came out. I thank you for Dr. Avita King and Dr. Bernice King and what's happening as this torch is continuing to burn. God, give us and those that are watching right now, grace us with the ability to not be offended, but just to walk into love, to even love our enemies. And you said that, you know, that's what we're to do, and that we would stand boldly in agreement where you could use us to be able to light the righteous torch again over this land, Lord God. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from all of our iniquities. Use us, God, I pray. End abortion. Send revival. Send a third great awakening, we pray in Jesus' name. God bless. Thank you for joining us. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.